I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 9, please, for a scripture reading. The book of Job, chapter 9, we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, though. Well, it's only 35 verses, but we want to keep to time today, so we'll read a few verses from the start, and then we'll go down to verse 24. Job chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun that it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. And go on down then to verse 24 of the chapter. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any dais man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for thy word again to our hearts. We think of the wisdom of it, and yet, Lord, we see in the words of these wise men the frailty of man and the lack of understanding that man has, even at best. And, O God, we know that we need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit that we might see. And, Lord, we ask thee that thou wast anoint our eyes with eyesalf today, that we might see, that we might behold thee, the great and mighty God. Come and bless us today. Shut us in with thyself. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. My text today is verses 30 and 31. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. The book of Job is the oldest book in our Bibles. It was written way back in the early days of the history of man. And we think of this man Job, who is the character that's represented in the book. He's a man that was mercilessly afflicted by the devil. And the book deals with him and the attempts of his friends to try and explain the trials and the afflictions that he is under. And his friends, of course, don't do much of a job of it, because the epithet has come down to be a Job's comforter. And he was here in the midst of his affliction, and really all his friends were doing was making it worse for him. But while these men show an ignorance in many ways, they also have a wisdom that is far beyond what many have in this day and generation in which we live. And I want you to see the great wisdom of Job here, because he asks a question right at the very start of this chapter, which is the greatest question of all. It is the question that we all need to have an answer to. It is that question in verse 2. He says, I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? If you have a margin, there is an alternative reading to that. It is, how should a man be just before God? The word just there is a word that just means justified or declared righteous. In other words, how can a person be perfect towards God? How can a person be perfectly righteous? How can a person be innocent towards God? And we see how that question, first of all, betrays the fact that Job knows that he isn't perfect. He knows that there's something wrong. He knows that he has something that needs to be done to his heart in order for him to be righteous. And he goes down and he realizes that he can't do anything. And really, you go down through the chapter and you see his attempts to try and explain how he can be righteous before God. And he comes to the conclusion that he can do nothing. And indeed, he comes to a wrong conclusion in the end. And that is the conclusion that nothing can be done. And that he was wrong. Look at verse 20. He says, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Now, there are many people who justify themselves today. We think of Tony Blackburn, the radio personality. And he said a few days ago that he didn't really much believe in God. But he said that if he was to stand before God in the end, he felt that he had done enough to get him through, that his good works would outweigh his bad works, and that he would be able to get through. Well, here was this man, Tony Blackburn. He's a man of personality and a man of standing in the world. But you know, he has no idea about the righteousness and holiness of God. Nobody who has any idea about the righteousness and holiness of God would say such a thing. And I want you to see the words of Job here in verses 30 and 31. You know, some people, this is going to be a shock to people who consider God to be some doddering old man up in the heavens who will let us through in the end. Here's what Job says. He says, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. And there is Job, and he's painting the absolutely accurate picture here. It is an accurate picture. It's a world in which men can do nothing to save themselves. Remember, he's trying to answer the question here. This most profound question. This is a question that you need to ask yourself. How should a man be just with God? And if we cannot wash ourselves, if we cannot do anything, then there's got to be another answer. There's got to be another way. And I want you to see what Job says in this portion of Scripture, in a very stark and in a very dramatic way. There are a number of things here that I want you to get hold of. And the first thing I want you to get hold of here is in the text we have the greatest possible effort. This man who wants to be just and perfect with God, he does two things to make an effort in order to make himself right. We are told that he, first of all, washes himself in snow water. And then the other thing that he does is that he makes his hands never so clean. Or the alternative of that is that he washes his hands in lye or alkali. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about that is how radical it is. He says, if I wash my hand or if I wash myself with snow water. And the thought of snow water there is to do with the whiteness of snow. There's nothing so white in nature as snow. You think of those that go out skiing and sometimes they go up on the slopes and maybe there's a little bit of sunshine. And if you're not wearing goggles or if you're not wearing sunglasses, the light will blind you. That is the light and the pristine whiteness of the snow. And the ancients, particularly in Job's time, considered snow water to be the purest of water. It was water that was fresh. It was untainted by the world around. It was uncontaminated in any way. And he says, this is the water that I'm going to wash in. And this is the extremist type of washing. It's washing in a substance that would be taken as the purest thing on earth. And then he uses the other figure here. He says, and make my hands never so clean. Or as we said, if I wash my hands in lye or alkali. Now in the days of Job, if a stain could not be removed, they would use alkali or lye, and they would mix that with oil, and they would make a kind of a soap. It was mixed in vegetable oil. And that mixture was also used in the smelting of iron. It made iron melt more easily. So it is a very powerful kind of a soap that was used. And this speaks here of a powerful penetrating soap. So everything here we can say is being done to wash himself as thoroughly as possible. It is washing of the most extreme kind. And I want you to see the figure that he uses very carefully here. He says, if I wash myself with snow water. And that would suggest an all-over washing. Now, you might say, well, I might say, I'm going to wash myself. It might just mean that I'm washing parts of myself. But very often when we say, I'm going to wash myself, it means I'm going to take a bath or a shower or something. And I think that's the sense in which Job is using it here. It's an all-over washing. And then he says, I wash my hands. And hands in the Bible speaks of our works, speaks of our practice, it speaks of the things that we do. So when you take the picture of a whole, as a whole, he says, I wash myself. I wash all that I am. Wash my mind, my thoughts, and all the rest of it, and all my actions, and all my practices, and all that I do. And here is Job, and he is very far from having the attitude of Tony Blackburn. He is a man who knows that he needs to be washed, and he knows where he really stands in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. And he knows that he needs to be washed thoroughly. You see, the Bible gives us a very clear picture of ourselves. It says the whole head is sick, the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that cannot be bound up, neither mollified without ointment. There is the picture of comprehensive filth. And that's how God sees you and me. And there's nothing that we can do to wash ourselves. There are many people who try it. And I'm thinking perhaps about the leg of the reformer Martin Luther. And before Luther was saved, he went through all sorts of practices to make sure that he was right with God. And just before God, he fasted, he whipped himself, and he tried everything that he could in order to make sure that he was right with God. He went to Rome, climbed the Scala Sancta, the stairs there in Rome that were supposed to be the stairs of Pilate's judgment hall. And to this day, people go up those stairs on their knees. Went one time to see that. Them going up the stairs on the knee. And they feel that if they can do that, they can find forgiveness with God. And Luther put himself through so much fasting and whipping and beating. At one stage, the monks came into his cell and found him lying, and they thought he was dead. But it didn't justify him. You see, what he was trying to do is wash himself in snow water. I think of John and Charles Wesley. And before they were saved, John and Charles Wesley formed a club in the Oxford University called the Holy Club. And this is what they did. They would go out, they would study the Bible, they would pray, they would rise 3 o'clock in the morning in order to pray. They would go out and visit people in the prison. They would give to the poor. They would have Holy Communion frequently on Wednesdays and Fridays. They would do all this. Do you know what John Wesley later discovered? With all that he had done, he wasn't saved. And I would guarantee you today that there's no one in this meeting who has brought themselves to the point of death to find forgiveness with God. I guarantee you there's not one in this meeting that rises at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray and to seek the face of God, and you're not saved. You know, the Bible makes it clear there is nothing we can do. Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not the washing in snow water, dear friend. You've got to be washed in the regenerating power of the precious blood of Christ. It's not by effort of any kind that we can do. And not only do I want you to see the radical nature of the cleansing that this man was seeking, but I want you to see the rarity of what he was seeking, because he mentioned snow water. Now perhaps we cannot imagine how rare a thing snow was in the climes where Job was. Unless you went up onto the top of Mount Hermon at winter time, there was no snow in around the land of Palestine. And here was a man, what was he doing? He was seeking for something rare. He was seeking for something valuable. Now, if you can't work so often, people think, well, if I give my time, if I give my efforts, if I give my money, I will merit the blessing and smile of God. But you know, there are many people who are given to charity. There are people who go on pilgrimages to Lourdes or go to the Holy Land or whatever it is and try to give their time and give their efforts and give what is valuable. But dear friend, you're trying to wash your hands in snow water. We see the radical nature of what he was doing, the rarity of what he was doing, but also the religious nature of what he was doing. Because snow water comes from heaven. Snow comes from the heavens. It descends from the clouds. And to Eastern minds, there was something mystical about the appearance of snow. You know, there are many people who have wrapped themselves up in religion, in religious ordinances, like the Wesley brothers. We were mentioned a few minutes ago, but religion will not get you to heaven. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So here is the greatest possible effort. This man is doing all he can, humanly speaking, in order to get himself washed. But he finds this absolutely useless. There is the greatest possible effort. But then I want you to see something else as the greatest possible disappointment. He says, if I wash myself in snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. And here is this man, he's gone to every length that he can think about, and done everything in a dramatic way, and what happens? He's rejected by God. He's a man who's spending his time and his efforts in order to gain the smile of God, and God rejects him. Now, that's not the kind of picture that people like to think about God. But that's what it says in the Word of God here. Now, there are many people like Tony Blackburn. And when they stand before God, they will be shocked. Indeed, shock is not a word for it. When they realize what it is that they have to do, or who it is that they stand before, my dear friend, it will be a shock indeed when they discover that they stand before the mighty God of heaven. But here is a person, I think perhaps even the way Tony Blackburn put it, he said, I think that I will have done enough. And there is a realization in many people's minds at the back of it all that there is that possibility when they stand before God, they'll be rejected. And you will be rejected outside of Christ. But you think of this other man here. He's done all that he can. He stands before the judgment seat of God. And he has gone through religious works and done all that he can in order to be have the smile of God. And he stands and he's rejected. What utter shock that will be. And I want you to see the way that Job speaks about the rejection here. Look at the effect of the rejection. two things happen here. It says, the first, that God will plunge him in the ditch. And the second thing is that his own clothes would abhor him. Now, the word translated there for ditch is a word that means corruption. It's the same word as used in the 16th Psalm. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, you think of the picture of the mire of corruption here. And God himself here is pictured as causing these people, this man, to fall in the dust, in the place of corruption. He makes them realize that he's corrupt. You see, here he was trying to do all that he could. You know, the Bible says that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. And all that the man was doing in trying to do that which was right and do that which was good was bringing sin upon himself, because he was rejecting the only way of salvation. He was rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. He was religious but lost. It's like the spider trying to climb up the sides of the bath. And it gets so far, then slips down again. Slips right down to the bottom. This man climbed so far by his own strength. And then he slipped down again to the bottom. And then you have the other picture here. It says, his own clothes shall abhor him. The picture there is the leper whose clothes would be afraid to touch him lest they be infected. The thought is that his clothes would find him detestable and his clothing would reject him. And it's such corruption here that it is spreading corruption. And what a picture that is of a person who is trying by their own efforts to get right with God. Here is something scandalous. There's something scandalous. God rejects all our good works. It only heaps coals upon our heads when we seek to try by our own efforts to get right with him. Not only do you see the effect of this rejection, but look at the extent of it. You notice here hints about the dramatic description of our clothing here being tainted and corrupted. But you think of the being thrown into the ditch here, and the thought of that, the force of those words is not that he's just thrown into the ditch, but he's put head over heels into the ditch. And you go on down through the chapter that is before us, and you can see how Job recognizes how hopeless his situation is. Look at verse 17 there. He says, "For he breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse." So he goes through all these things. He says, I speak of strength, but I've none. He says, I try to justify myself. My own mouth condemns me. He says, if I try to wash myself with snow water, God plunges me into the ditch. And here he is, and Job is right. He recognizes the hopelessness of his own condition. But then he goes right down into twisted logic, because he gets a twisted notion about God. And he says at the end that there is no way. There's even no death, man. There's nobody to stand for me. There's nothing that can be done. And dear friend, here is a man who has seen himself. And at least I hope that you'll see yourself today. You know, the first step in getting right with God is to see ourselves, to recognize how hopeless our situation is. And at least Job had recognized that. He begins to get a little bit of a twisted notion about God. But nevertheless, he has seen that his situation is hopeless in the sight of God. There's nothing that he can do. And if you just take that one thing away from this meeting today, that's the thing that I want you to get. There's nothing that you can do. Now, we're going to end on that note. You see, Job here comes and he says in verse 33, "Neither is there any dais man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. And the word there for desman is intermediary. It means a mediator. It means somebody who's an advocate, somebody who will take his case. And he says there's nobody to do that. But I want you to see, not only is there the greatest possible effort here, and the greatest possible disappointment, but thank God there's the greatest possible salvation. Because when Job says in verse 33, neither is there any desman betwixt us that may lay his hand upon us both, when he speaks about no advocate, when he speaks about no intermediary, when he speaks about no mediator, I'm glad he was wrong. Because there is a mediator. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is a mediator. There is a dead man who stands between God and man. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, left the realms of glory, and came in the form of a man, and he went to the cross and took our punishment that we might be saved. And now he stands between God and man as our representative, as our advocate. The Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So Job was cast down and he was disconsolate about his condition, and he'd come to the conclusion that there was nobody to help him. There was no dead man. There was no mediator. But I want to present you with a mediator today. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of what the Apostle Paul said. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Job was wanting to know, how can a man be just before God? It is by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come by faith today, he will justify you. Now notice what the mediator does. First of all, he will robe you. You know, he'll give you a new robe. Job here spoke about his very clothing abhorring him, rejecting him. But the Lord gives those who come to him a new robe. In Isaiah chapter 61 and 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Men and women, that's the robe that we need. Our own clothes abhor us. We can wash ourselves in snow water, but it'll do no good. But there is a robe of righteousness. Our blessed Lord Jesus lived a life of righteousness. And not only when we're saved are we forgiven, but that righteousness is imputed to us. And there we stand just. Job is asking, how can a man be just? How can a man be righteous? This is the answer. We're given the righteousness of Christ. We stand justified in the righteousness of our Savior. That's the gospel answer. He gives us a new robe. Have you that robe of righteousness on today? Are you cleansed in the precious blood of the Lamb? He robes us. Then our mediator does something else. He raises us. He lifts us out of the mire of corruption. Remember what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 40 and verse 2. He said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Notice what the psalmist found. He brought me up. He lifted me. He lifted me. You know what the Lord does for his people? He lifts us. Here's the man Job is talking about here, and he's a man who tries to be lifted by himself. He says in the verse, he speaks about cleansing himself, washing myself in snow water. And what happens? He's plunged in the ditch. But what does Christ do? He brought us up. He lifts us. He draws us from the bondage. He lifts us from the mire. He brings us from the guilt. He gives us a perfect salvation. Men, women,
I wonder
if you have that deliverance from the dominion of sin, the bondage of sin. Have you been brought out of the mire of the place of sin? He reaches down into the horrible pit. You can't save yourself. But I'll tell you this, the Savior reaches down right into that horrible pit, right into the mire, into that miry atmosphere. He reaches down today. And you can't do anything of yourself. He must reach down. But what you need to do is grasp His hand by faith. If you will grasp His hand by faith, He will bring you unto Himself. He will save you by His power. You know, there was two bootblacks many years ago talking to one another, and they were speaking about the blessings of heaven. They were both saved. And one bootblack said to the other, Billy, he said, when we come to heaven, it won't matter how lowly we have been down here, for Billy, we won't just get into heaven somehow, but we'll get in straight through the pearly gate. And you know, no matter how low down we have been, there are many people who are trying to make a good face for themselves, and present a good face to the world. You know, it doesn't matter what we have been down here. It matters what we will be up there. Are you saved today? Have you been trying to wash your heart and wash your light with snow water? Trying with respectability? Trying to put up a face? And all along, you know the guilt of your heart. Then come to the place of real cleansing. That is in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you come to Him and know His forgiveness today for His name's sake. Let's